Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
I said it before and I'll say it again. I have the best job in the whole world. I get to work with the talented volunteers and the talented staff here at Stonebridge United Methodist Church. And man, if you miss Easter here, that is something you're going to want to put on your list, because that is not something you want to miss around here. It was a fantastic time. Now, contrary to what I call creasters, you know what a creaster is, right? That's somebody who comes to church at Christmas and Easter, a creaster. Easter is actually a little bit longer than Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning. It's actually a season that we celebrate in the church. It's called Eastertide. And so it begins on Easter morning, but it lasts all the way up until that second Sunday in June this year, which is Pentecost. So Easter, we actually proclaim the resurrected Christ a whole lot longer than just on Easter Sunday. So that's something very important for you to know and for us to discuss. But one thing that really stuck out to me about this Easter season was just the reminder of these really sobering settings, these really interesting settings that that are in play during the story of Christ's death and resurrection. I mean, we start at this very bloody place of the cross. It's a very sad and kind of a sombering backdrop to the story. And then we go to a tomb, and the tomb does not even belong to Jesus. It's actually borrowed. And so they're just really unusual settings that happen. And so we're going to talk about another unusual, somber setting as we look at our scripture reading this morning out of Ezekiel chapter 37. So I'd invite you, if you have a Bible app or a Bible, to take that out. We're going to cover a lot of ground this morning. So this is Ezekiel 37. Beginning in verse 1, the hand of the Lord, this is Ezekiel talking, was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. Now, this is important that we understand that the bones that Ezekiel's talking about is Israel. It's the nation of Israel. Can you imagine how shocking this must be? I'll remind you that Israel was in captivity in Egypt for over 100 years, and God led them out with Moses. But after a while, in the promised land, these Israelites, they start turning away from God. They get away from God, and so they start rebelling against God. And so King Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonian army come in, and they hand the Israelites a mighty defeat. Something happens that was unimaginable back then. The Solomon, the Temple of Solomon, it's reduced to ashes. So this is a battlefield with the household of a chosen nation in bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. You seen bones like this before out in nature? Bones that don't even have the moisture of the ground. They're actually not saturated with any moisture, and so they just become white and brittle, dry, parched bones that are exposed to all of the elements. Those are the kind of bones that Ezekiel is seeing in his vision. And then God starts asking questions. Son of man, can these bones live? Now, if you're Ezekiel, what would you answer? Can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. That's a smart prophet right there. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Really unusual. God basically tells Ezekiel, preach to those dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord. And this is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, says Ezekiel. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. Now, this would scare the business out of me. You know what I'm saying? The bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and a flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come, breathe from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and they stood up on their feet as a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. And then this word from the psalmist. Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures. Your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. Save me, for I am yours. I have sought out your precepts. The wicked are waiting to destroy me, but I will ponder your statutes. To all perfection I see a limit, but your commands are boundless. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, reveal yourself to us, Lord. May your Holy Spirit move in a mighty way. May these words be your words. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Ezekiel must have really been shocked that day to see all of these bones. And on top of the fact that there are bones everywhere, in the Old Testament, this valley of death would have been horrible for him because, you see, he believed that if you touch anything dead, that made you unclean. But he didn't want to experience this death scene. That would have been a nightmare for him. I mean, it's a nightmare to me in 2014, but this guy, he really had a problem with this. It was a terrifying, a gloomy sight for this prophet. And let me tell you, upon meditating upon this scripture, it became very clear to me very early on that we don't want to touch death in our experience either. We don't want to acknowledge death in our experience as Christian people. Therefore, we're often blinded. We often don't acknowledge it. We don't acknowledge death. But friends, there's no resurrection without death. That's what Good Friday was about. That's what Holy Saturday was about. Death is part of who we are. But we don't want to see it. In other words, if we aren't dead, then we must be alive, right? But are we? Last year, I had the opportunity to take this really cool trip to Kenya, Africa. And there, it was just amazing. I got an opportunity to go out to the Masai Mara. This is a huge wildlife refuge. And friends, I got to see animals in their natural habitat. And this wasn't like a petting zoo. No, there were tigers and lions and hippos and crocodiles as long as this aisle. And, I mean, just things that I never thought I'd ever see in my whole life. But I kept seeing these dead carcasses across the African plains as we drove around in the van. Needless to say, I stayed in that thing. It had a little pop-up hood, and I poked out and took a picture every once in a while, but I didn't get out of the fan. But I kept seeing these carcasses, and I kept thinking, what on earth is that? And then I'd wander across, and I'd see something really cool, like a big giant elephant carcass, and that was cool. But there was this one animal that I kept seeing over and over, and I was like, finally, I just asked the driver, I said, what is that? What are these bones? And he showed me a wildebeest. He pointed a wildebeest out. Now, this looks kind of like an ominous animal, right? Friends, this is the dumbest animal on the planet, I'm convinced, because there are more wildebeest carcasses on the plains of Africa than any other animal that exists. I'm just convinced that a wildebeest is not very smart. I think their tactic is kind of crazy, and it kind of mirrors ours sometimes. Just reproduce a lot, and you have a better chance of surviving. Yeah, it's not a real great tactic if you're not the fastest or the brightest, right? I mean, this is not a good tactic to stay alive. And let me tell you, there was plenty of proof out there. So when I read this dry bone scripture, I remembered all these wildebeest carcasses. And then the van driver told me this really amazing story about these wildebeests. He said, oh yeah, well, what happens is they get thirsty. They get thirsty for a drink. And so they'll go down to a watering hole. The problem is that the watering holes in Africa dry up in the dry season. And so it's really more like a mud hole. And they get down there and they get stuck. They get stuck. They can't get out of the mud. And then this happens. See that thing over there on the left? Yeah. Yeah, this enemy shows up. This predator shows up. She's very pretty looking. I got to see one while I was there. But let me tell you, she's licking her chops right now. She's not a nice girl. She is waiting to devour that wildebeest. Like, whap! She'll go and grab that wildebeest and eat it. And I started thinking, wow, that's just like us. We also have an enemy that lies in wait, just like that. Just like that picture. Waiting to devour us, waiting to gobble up our worship and our praise. An enemy that wants to discourage us. An enemy that wants to make sure that we know that we're hopeless. But we have this. That's the difference between us and a dumb wildebeest. Listen to what this says about this scene. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Now, each of us in this room can agree that we're all sinners, right? Oh, wow. Seriously. That's amazing. I've never been around so many sinless people in my life. Let me ask that again. Each person in this room can agree that we're all sinners, right? Thank you. Oh, man, I was sweating it, Rachel, there for a second. We can all agree that we've somehow fallen short of the glory of God, yes? So then we need to ask what kind of death is present in our living, because it's here, it's among us. And if we all believe that we are in need of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday and beyond, then we need to acknowledge that we are dead ducks in a hopeless situation without him. Amen? So, let's rattle the bones in our own graveyard here for a second, shall we? The first bone I'd like to shake up a little bit is the tailbone. You know who you are, right? Yeah, these are the folks that come week after week, and they basically just sit in a pew. They don't really do much else other than that. You kind of half expect God to show up and give you a high five just for being here. Thank you. Thank you, sister, just for being here. I mean, we should all be grateful that you're here, right? Well, and we are. You're not obligated to be here, right? You'll know this tailbone person because they'll be the first to say when trouble comes, I'm out of here. That's a tailbone. Well, hey, dead, dry tailbone. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. That means when we apply God's resurrection power to a tailbone, they begin to work and build the kingdom of God instead of acting like an entitled, self-important tailbone. God will bring results through their ministry, and it'll last forever. Now, some of you might be sitting here and thinking, oh no, he didn't. Well, I know exactly you're thinking what that tailbone is. I know who it is, and you're just dying. You know what? I have a name for you too. You're a finger bone. Yeah, you like to point at others and blame them. Yeah, I know who that tailbone is. You see, I have a theory about finger bones too. If you point blame at others, then you don't have to help them. You think you're somehow precluded from that. So if you're pointing and you're blaming someone else, I don't have to help them. I'm blaming them. Well, that's not true. The church is here to love tailbones and finger bones. You apply the resurrection power to the finger bone, and you get someone who is helping those who are in need. And they're honoring God in that service. Now, there's another bone rattling in our graveyard this morning, and it is the deadest, driest bone of them all. The jawbone. The jawbone just spews discouragement. The jawbone just spews out all of this negativity. They gossip. Boy, my mom used to have a saying about the jawbone. She would say, if you don't have anything nice to say, woo! Now you're doubly accountable because you know. You just admitted it. Now, if you're spewing discouragement, if that's your thing, jawbone, you're spewing that discouragement, then listen up. You need to really ask yourself why. There's a problem there. And even worse, if you're gossiping, or if you're having little parking lot conversations or sidebar conversations with people, then the next time that you want to pass on a little bit of gossip, I want you to do something for me. I want you to think about that person that you're gossiping about, and I want you to visualize yourself stabbing them. And you might think, oh, Pastor Kenan, have you lost your mind? No. Visualize that. Because maybe that shocking imagery in your mind will keep your mouth closed. The bottom line is that jawbones waste our time. That's a waste of time. They are dead, dry bones. Jawbones, hear the word of the Lord. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You apply the resurrection of Jesus Christ to a jawbone, and they'll get their nose out of other people's business, and they'll look for a task to do for Christ and for this church. And they'll get to work. They'll stop hurting those around them and being dead, old jawbones. And for whatever reason, I've noticed something very interesting about a jawbone that somehow, you remember that song, the jawbone, the jawbone is always connected to the hip bone. I know, that's right, that's weird, huh? For whatever reason, it appears that those with the most often, to say, they're the ones who have the least to give. That's why I refer to them as hip bones. They sit on their wallets and their purses. They don't want to talk about money because they don't want to give any of it up. They don't want to hear sermons on stewardship because they don't view their money as a tool and God as their security. They flip-flop those two things and they think about it the other way around. My security is my money and my God is my tool. That is wrong thinking. And let me tell you, friends, Jesus spends 2/3 of his parables talking about money. And if your pastors, if your leadership in this church do not talk about it, they don't love you correctly. So you be thanking God that you have leadership that's not afraid to talk to you about your money. That's pastoral care, and that's true love. So, hey, dry, dead hip bones. You can't take your money with you when you go. Hear the word of the Lord, dry bones. For where your treasure is, there your heart. There your heart will also be. A lot of good your heart is going to do in your folded up wallet and your zipped up purse. God, help us. We pray to God, but you know what? It often just turns into a bunch of wishbones. Gimme, 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 God. Gimme, 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 God. But what about thanksgiving? What about worship and praise? When is worship and praise going to be our priority? What about our fellowship with God? Perhaps as a church, we'd be better served to get on our knee bones, you know? There's another saying, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, no prayer. The graveyard is full of death, friends. Full of dry, parched bones, and we haven't even begun to scrape the surface of that. But see, we don't want to touch it. We don't want to touch the fact that there are those among us who have lost a passion for living. We don't want to touch the fact that people right here in this room have had suicidal thoughts. We don't want to touch the fact that there is out of control addiction amongst us. That there's physical and verbal abuses happening in our homes. Mental abuse. We don't want to talk about the sad, lonely depression, the dry, parched bones, the concern from health issues, the broken relationships, the broken covenants of marriage, the perversion and the pornography that happens in our homes, the indebtedness, the spiritual bankruptedness. We don't want to talk about that, but it's sin upon sin upon sin, and that sin are dry, parched bones, friends. We don't want to acknowledge the death here because we are too busy trying to convince ourselves that we are alive. If I'm busy enough, I'm alive. But that's not the moisture these bones need. This is. Jesus says, it's a different kind of water. It's a different kind of drink. Told the woman at the well that. We're running our mouths and pointing our fingers. The truth of the matter is that without Christ, we are all dead ducks. Hopeless, like the Israelite soldiers. Hopeless, like a dumb wildebeest. We are on the losing end of the battle. But you know what, dry bones? Hear this word from the Lord. There is no one righteous, not even one. No one. The church was never intended, friends, to be a downhearted, weary, hopeless, and burdensome place. Quite the contrary, here at Stonebridge United Methodist Church, we profess to be the most joyful place on earth. And I think we get that right. We are joyful and we are triumphant because of Jesus Christ and the resurrection power. A question comes in this scripture. Can these dry bones live? If you're sitting here in this worship service this morning and you're lost, that means you don't have a relationship with Christ. Let us help you by praying for you. Friends, I want you to do that right now. I want you to start praying for those amongst us. I want you to start praying for the areas in your life where you may be dead. Because there is a truth about the dominion of evil that operates. It's lying in wait to just pick off and destroy. He doesn't want you praying. He doesn't want you knowing the word of God. He doesn't want you to have a life-giving drink. He doesn't want you giving worship and offering your money. He doesn't want you to listen to the leadership that has been placed in front of you, your spiritual leaders. He wants you to rebel against all of that. He wants to cause a rebellious spirit in you so that you just end up an old, dry, parched bone in a graveyard. He wants you to look at others instead of looking at Jesus. He wants you to lose sight of what God has for you and what God has for you in this church. He wants to steal the gift that you are away from this church. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh. Does this sound familiar? And following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. This is the truth of the power of Christ. This is the life-giving drink that the dry bones need. This is when the bones rattle and come together, and when they slip into the skin of a resurrected Christ. And then the breath of God is breathed into them. Sarah, would you come back up with Marla and sing that bridge? Breathe, O breath of God. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, my situation is hopeless. There's an answer.
Breathe.
There's an answer. If you're sitting here thinking, what I've done is so bad, I couldn't possibly recover from this. You have a God that's bigger than that. If you're sitting here this morning and you think there's no way that I can overcome what I have to face, let me tell you, you can't outsend the cross. It's impossible. You need the breath of God breathing over your situation, breathing over your life. You need a heart that accepts the fact that God wants you, that God's gone to great lengths to touch you and to reach you. He sent his son here for you. He sent his son that you might live and breathe in the power of his resurrection. Sarah, sing it. Sing that chorus.
Call out.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.